It's NFL draft season, and that means draft prospects are being evaluated, measured, and ultimately judged. And so GMs need to have discernment about what players to draft and what players to pass on. What about in our own lives? Are we using discernment when it comes to decision-making and how we interact with others? Let's unpack it.
This is the Unpacking It podcast, where we relate big sports stories to life and biblical truth. Our mission is to challenge, encourage, and inspire you to follow Jesus and become more like Him with sports conversations that truly matter.
That's what I'm talking about!
Coming to you from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Hey, I just want to thank you guys one last time for being here. It's the best day ever.
Here is the president of Unpacking It Ministries, Bryce Johnson.
Welcome to the Unpacking It podcast, where we unpack parallels, metaphors, and topics in sports that relate to life and faith. I'm Bryce Johnson, joined today by guest co-host Ray Hardy. We will introduce him in just a moment. On today's episode, we are unpacking the draft combine, this sort of build up to the NFL draft, which takes place in April. And we're going to take a look at what it means to be judgmental versus having discernment. And what does it mean to incorporate wisdom and knowledge into discernment? How do we gain discernment as followers of Jesus? And so this should be a really encouraging conversation for all of us today. So glad to have you here. Thanks everybody watching on YouTube or social media. Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. We're on all those different platforms, and we appreciate when you like and comment and share. So thank you. And then also everybody listening on Apple and Spotify and anywhere else you listen to podcasts. You can email me, Bryce@unpackingit.com. Always love hearing from you. And when you go to our website, unpackingit.com, be sure to subscribe to our devotional. It goes out Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We take sports stories related to the Bible, related to life. And if you missed our Caitlin Clark devotional from Monday, definitely check that out on our website, unpackingit.com. Wow, what an accomplishment and what a career she's had. And so we related that to what it means to have a close and personal relationship with Jesus. So how does everything going on with Caitlin Clark and the fans that are showing up to games relate to our life of faith? Check that out on unpackingit.com. All right, I've got another guest co-host in studio today, and I'm fired up because it is my pastor, my friend. He is a board member on Unpacking It's board. It's Ray Hardy. Ray, welcome. How are you?
Wow, Bryce, I'm doing great. Thanks so much for coming. And by the way, I got to start out by doing my best Bryce Johnson imitation. So Uh-oh. Here it is. Hey, sports fans, it's great to have you guys with us today. We're going to talk about wisdom and discernment and judgment and all those other cool things. And how about that Caitlin Clark? She's amazing. But anyway, what a great voice. If I had your voice, the church would be three times the size I have.
Man, no, that's a little, am I that gruffy this morning?
No.
I got a great voice. I got the allergies going on, so it's a little rougher than normal, but this time of year is tough for me, but thank you for your impersonation. My wife and daughters like to do similar. They try their own impersonation on me, but anyway, so today we're talking about the kind of the NFL draft and the buildup to the draft. And so as Panthers fans here in Charlotte, there's a lot of debate going on. All right, what direction do they go, and what players does the new regime decide to keep on the current team, which then opens up holes for what players will fill those holes. And so you go to the draft to try to figure that out. Of course, you factor in free agency as well. But then we just came off the combine. And so the combine, you know, you get a lot of unique players that sort of rise to the top, sometimes out of nowhere because of their measurables and what they do with the 40-yard dash and all these different, whatever you call them, skills that they show off and different drills that they perform through. And so first off, Ray, do you get into the combine? Do you watch it? Do you follow it? What was your takeaway from this year's combine?
Absolutely. So having run a 5.3 40 in high school when I was at my fastest. I like watching these guys. And I was just amazed this weekend watching the defensive ends, some of them running 4.5s and 4.6s in addition to jumping 42 verticals and all those kind of things. I just think it's a key component in deciding how they get them. Obviously, those measurables aren't the only things that are going to help them to discern whether or not they get them, but it's a key component as part of the way that they discern whether or not they want to have them on their team.
Absolutely. And so that's what makes this whole process so fascinating, because all of these players are being, you know, evaluated, scouted, profiled, and the GMs, the scouts, the coaches, whatever, you know, involvement they have along the way, they are all factoring these different elements into their ultimate decision on where they stand with these players. And so they're looking at, you know, game film, of course, from college, and then the combine, and then the pro days. And then I think the interviews are key.
Right.
And what players, you know, say during those interviews, those behind the scenes interviews, you know, with coaches one-on-one or GMs one-on-one or in a group, whatever. But what they reveal about themselves is key then. But then also these players, when they're interviewed by the media, oftentimes reveal a lot about their character and kind of who they are as people as well. And so, you know, through all of this, the decision makers are making judgments about these players. And we do it as fans too, because we'll you know, tell the Panthers or whatever your favorite team is, hey, you should draft this guy. Don't draft this guy. You know, and it's based on our own judgments as fans, based on what we watched, you know, during their college days or what we've heard in interviews. And so it really is a fascinating process the whole time.
It's cool to be able to watch the different people do different things in the way that they do them, the way they carry themselves, even between exercises.
That's right.
Are they confident? Are they looking down? Are they scratching their heads? So you can kind of tell those intangibles even while they're looking at the tangibles. And I just think it's a fascinating thing. I think it's much more fascinating to watch the combine personally than to hear all of the chatter that leads to the draft and all that kind of stuff too. I mean, and then after the draft, because really even among the best football minds that are out there, and I love watching those guys on NFL Network and Ladies and NFL Live, but ultimately, you know, it's really about what you see, how you perform, and where they're going to fit in.
Well, that's it. And so that's the what we'll talk about today is how, think about the number of players that get misjudged for one reason or another, which means they'll slip in the draft because they were judged a certain way. They don't have the athleticism that we're looking for. They don't have the size. So then they fall in the draft. And then there are other players who are, you know, judged throughout this process. Maybe there's a character red flag and they go, ooh, we're going to pass on this guy. So they fall in the draft. And then there are certain players that come in with all sorts of hype and excitement and what they did in college. And then, you know, they get drafted too early and they're misjudged in that way. And so that's what makes the job of the GM and the scout, the whole front office and the whole decision-making regime is how they judge these players. And what ends up happening is the best GMs are the ones that consistently hit on their draft selections. And they're the ones that really understand how to judge these players correctly. And the word that we're using today is discernment. The ability to discern whether or not a player is going to make it on the next level, that their game translates to the next level. They have to discern that the player is the right fit in the coach's system. And to also discern which position is most valuable or most important for where the team is at. And so, you know, with the Panthers, it's discerning between is the offensive line more important or the wide receiver more important to help Bryce Young take the next step. And so these GMs that end up, you know, rising to the top and franchises that rise to the top. I think about the Steelers. I think about the Packers. You know, these teams draft well consistently. And so what is it about? I would say they know how to judge talent, right? And they have a level of discernment. They have the ability to see maybe what other teams or scouts don't see. And you have to go beyond the surface to be able to gather the right information, to ask the right questions, to figure out which of these guys are going to be the answer for the team.
Yeah, whether you're in serving in a position as a general manager or a coach, or even a pastor or a business leader, you want to look for four factors in particular. One is competence. And so what they're determining right now are how are the numbers. They can look at the film. They can see what their records are. They can see what they've done in the past. And that's definitely there. How much can they lift? How high can they jump? How far can they jump? Because you want to discern those skills according to what you need for certain positions. So competence is first. And then comes character. I would actually say character should come first in the way that we do that, but they can only discern character indirectly through what they see about the way a player indirectly live their lives. Then comes chemistry. How do they get along with other people? How are they going to interact? Is it all about them? Are they just narcissists where they're always number one? Or are they going to be people that can blend into the do your job culture, for instance, in New England? Or whatever the culture is going to be now that Gerard Mayo is the coach now instead of Bill Belichick. I'm sure a lot of that's going to continue.
Oh, yeah.
And then finally, calling. I certainly think that there's a desire to follow your gut. I would just say that what general managers would call following your gut, we would probably say is discernment that the Holy Spirit gives us, that you need to do this because it's the right fit. It's the right thing and it's right now.
Amen. So that sets us up for... Yeah, the spiritual parallel, but I love those four C's, and I think that's it. It's figuring out, okay, how do we discern and judge the situation, the individual, and so what's interesting though is as we look at the NFL and players that either, you know, wow, how did that team know that guy was going to be great, or did they know? I guess too. But you think about Brock Purdy, like the 49ers are another team to mention that they draft really well. Other than the whole Trey Lance trade, that was a miss. So they misjudged Trey Lance and sort of his fit and maybe his development. They thought maybe that would happen quicker than he's still in process. Now he's down in Dallas, but you think about, okay, the Niners identified something with Brock Purdy. They go, we got to draft this guy in the seventh round. And so there was a level of discernment there. Like, maybe there's something about him that we want to bring him in to our camp and see what he can do. And then you think back though to other quarterbacks where, okay, they were misjudged and it didn't work out. You think about, you know, Mitch Trubisky or Johnny Manziel or Blake Bortles or Blaine Gabbert or, you know, the Sam Darnold and Zach Wilson experiment with the Jets. And so there was a lack of right judgment, a lack of the proper discernment about those guys to say, ooh, maybe Zach Wilson is too immature to come in and be able to handle the limelight of the Jets. Or you got to have some discernment to know that, ooh, Sam Darnold's skill set better suited in a USC system and the college system versus the Jets. I'm trying to think who the coach was when he was drafted. But
was it Rex? Right? No.
No, maybe Rex was gone. I'm trying to think who was there before Robert Saleh.
Yeah.
I can't even remember. But they've been through a number of guys in recent years. But so those are the types of things. And so the word discernment is really what bubbles up in this whole conversation. And it's defined as the ability to judge well or make a smart judgment about something, or a wise way of judging between things, or a particularly perspective, or a particularly perceptive way of seeing things. And then the last definition, to distinguish, to separate out by diligent search, to examine. And so as important as it is for GMs to have discernment, if they want to thrive in selecting the right players, when it comes to our own lives as followers of Jesus, we need discernment to know the right things to do and not do. What direction is God's best? To know the difference between something that's good and something that's great. And really, that's what God's best is. We've got to have discernment for that. and also to make, you know, the right decisions about people and to judge rightly about, okay, who is this person? What are they about? What's really going on? How can I love them? How can I discern what this person needs? And so, Ray, I want you to jump in on that kind of as we get this going and kind of paralleling. Okay, you got to discern the difference between players and who's going to translate and that kind of thing. And you try to, GMs try to understand players and what they're all about. For you as a pastor, discernment is ongoing, of course, but also in your interaction with people and their needs and what's kind of going on in their lives.
So I think about judgment and discernment as being on the same spectrum. You can jump to an end and make a snap judgment about somebody, or you can make an informed judgment. I love the last definition that you read. It's about distinguishing between what is best and ultimately lining up those factors of, can I see competence in this person? Like, for instance, I asked you to preach for us a couple of years ago. Now you've preached a couple of times in our church because you are a great communicator. But you'd never seen that in yourself, I don't think, until then. And then you did so because God gave me the discernment to say, man, Bryce has got not only a great voice, but a great heart and a great mind. And he needs to put this to use in this way as well. We're grateful that you're putting it to use here with Unpacking It, because you do what nobody else really does. You take help sports fans and you help them to follow Jesus better. But I also think that discernment is kind of like at the fulcrum on this whole line of whatever or they're out, right? In the middle, there's this kind of fulcrum that moves that says, you know, here's where discernment lies in. What's the wise thing to do? I read a book by Andy Stanley years ago. Called The Best Question Ever.
Yep.
And so it's a great, great book, and really appreciate what he had to say. As a matter of fact, my daughter, youngest daughter, went to China twice in college because she was an international business major and a global supply chain management major. So I thought, what am I going to tell her? You know, she's going to be in the summer first and then a whole semester, 6 months, 5 or 6 months. And so here's what I decided to do. I put on the little index card and I said, in light of my past and my present and my future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing to do? That's the best question ever. And so I said, all I ask you to do is read this once a day. Mm. Put it somewhere you can see it and think about what it is you're going to eat, who you're going to hang out with, what you're going to do. And I think when we make decisions as people in general, that's where it needs to happen. But I love watching it play out on the field of play with general managers and with coaches and those people that are making decisions, because they're trying to figure out, does this person fit? Mm. Does this person meet a need that we have? How do we know they're going to have the ability to continue to develop? Are they going to get better? Have they peaked? Have they not peaked? Can they still move forward? So Brock Purdy, certainly a great example of that. So also is Tom Brady, certainly, right? Because it was about the process for him and getting better and better and better. And that intangible of, I'm going to prove something to somebody. And then ultimately, after he proved it to somebody, he decided, I'm going to prove it to myself. I want to make sure that I'm stronger in what it is that I'm doing as well, too.
And for the Patriots then to, discern, all right, there's something about this Tom Brady that we want to see develop. And so I think there's a couple key, just elements to this whole discernment process. And for us in our day-to-day lives, how do we, implement discernment? And how do we gain discernment and when do we utilize it and that kind of thing too. And I think we have to understand a couple of elements. So the first is, the concept of being judgmental, and you mentioned quick judgments. So oftentimes we'll just write people off because we're judgmental. And at the heart of that, it's self-righteous, it's critical, it's mean. And oftentimes we can just misjudge people because of that. We jump to conclusions. And so we've seen that, of course, happen in the NFL. You judge people and you write them off, and versus having the discernment to say, you know what, I think this guy really learned from his mistakes. We're going to give him a shot. We're going to bring him in. We're going to put him around our, leadership structure, and we're going to see him thrive. He made a mistake when he was 20 and that kind of thing. And so we can do this. We're judgmental with people. And so that's why as followers of Jesus, we have to continue to seek the Lord and ask him to give us discernment about people, to say, no, there's more to this story. Why are they that way? Why did they, go through that or choose to go that way maybe in the past? But having the discernment that, no, God is working in them. God's got a plan for them. There's hope there. And to be able to step into that and allow God to lead us, in those relationships, that requires discernment, not the easy judgmental, you walk away, forget that guy. No. It requires discernment. Now, at the same time, there are also times where we have to discern, this guy's trouble. I can't surround myself and spend, you know, significant time or put myself in situations. I've got to discern this. I can't do business with this guy, right? Or I can't give him, you know, this opportunity, or maybe, you know, at church, like, oh, I can't give him that platform. I got to have discernment about that. So Ray, how do you sort of engage in that kind of differentiation between being judgmental and discerning people?
So, I mean, it's based upon scripture and interaction with what God is saying to us. And on the other end of the perspective, instead of just writing people off, it's got whatever. You really going to let whatever person's on your team? No, you don't want to do whatever. You want to use some kind of things to critically think about people, not to be critical for the sake of being critical, but actually stop and say, okay, what is the wise thing that you want me to do here? And that's based solely in the beginning, at least in the foundation, upon God's revealed word to us and that which has been written down. And scripture tells us in Psalm 119 that his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. So I like to use this as a sports analogy. I'm kind of like, I think I want to walk into the stadium of my life and God to slam on the stadium lights from the very beginning. I want to see the beginning to the end. I want to see the goal lines. I want to see the truth is you and I could probably not handle it if God showed us the things that we were going to have to go through. Instead, though, it says his word's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Many of you perhaps have foot lamps along the pathway to your house. It's like you have enough light to take another step and enough light to take another step and enough light to take another step. And I think that's what people are doing in the process of sports, too, in making decisions about a general manager doing those kinds of things or coaches making those kinds of decisions, because they're just kind of unpeeling the onion and going, okay, what's this saying to us? What's this saying to us? What does this behavior say to us? What did that conversation say to us? And that's what's important. And sometimes there's the Spirit of God is very specific with us. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. And if we are children with God, we are heirs with God and co-heirs with Christ, which means the first time I met you, if you had never told me you were a Christian, just in our basic conversation, there's something that vibes between you and me, and that's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is bearing witness with our spirits. Hey, we're those kinds of people. So I really believe when somebody decides to pick person A for this position on their team, that ultimately a lot of time that's because that gut feeling that general managers would call a gut feeling or coaches, I will say that's the Holy Spirit for those who are believers and have the Spirit inside of us to do so.
Man. No, it's good stuff. So yeah, and I love the light on our path. I think that's key for us. And so as we think about discernment from a decision-making process, so it's, you know, how we discern people and interactions with people and how we love them and how we serve them to discern, okay, what do they really need in this situation? But then also it's having discernment about which direction to go and okay, where is God leading me in this situation? And so I read this quote from Ligonier Ministries, Dr. Sinclair B. Ferguson. He writes, "For the only worthwhile discernment we possess is that which we receive in union with Christ by the Spirit through God's word."
Amen.
And so if we want discernment, it's from the Holy Spirit within us. It's through God's word and it's abiding in Christ. And so as we continue to seek God on a daily basis and follow Jesus and walk by the Spirit, we're going to have discernment. Yeah. That's going to be a byproduct of that. And so if you know you're listening today, I don't know if I have discernment. Well, it's available to us, but we have to be, you know, active in our faith and activate that really it's a spiritual gift. Yes, maybe some people have more discernment than others and they've been walking with the Lord longer, but discernment is available to all of us. That's part of having the Holy Spirit within us and walking the light on the path, right? As God lights up our path.
Absolutely. One of the things that means a lot to me in my life, and I think Christians need to constantly understand this, or people that follow God and reading scripture, is Jesus said to his disciples, it's actually in the context around the time where he saves the woman who's caught in adultery. Mm. and let him without sin cast the first stone. He goes on to say, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We tend to think of the truth as being the static body of knowledge, and it definitely is, but the application of truth is the ethical principles of decision-making we apply to our lives. So Jesus is saying to you and to me, if you're continuing to focus in on what it is I've said to you, memorizing it, meditating on it, reading it, thinking about it, then I'm going to show you the way I want you to go. Meaning the truth is discoverable every day. There's a sense in which the truth is foundational, but how we apply the truth with a good decision depends on, are we listening to God or are we listening to SportsCenter? One of the things I try to do in the morning is I try to make sure that the very first thing that I'm doing is listening and reading scripture. As soon as I crack consciousness, I want God to be feeding. I typically listen to scripture at the beginning of the day, even before I read it, because I want God to be pouring that into my mind and I can think auditorially about that. Then it applies to my heart and my decisions.
Amen. Because yeah, now you operate with that discernment. So then as you interact with people, as you face decisions, the Spirit is alive in us. And so a couple key verses about discernment, Romans 12, we refer to Romans 12 a lot as a powerful chapter in the Bible, but verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And so the mind, the heart, we're doing that at our church, going through the mind, the heart, the soul, but the ability to test so that we can discern and know, okay, wait, what is this thought? You know, renewing our mind. Is this truth? Is this God's word? Is this coming from him? Or is this selfish, the world, the enemy? You know, what is this thought coming? And testing it. And so that we test it against scripture and test it to know, okay, is this God's will for me? And so discerning is right there. And then also Philippians 1, 9 through 10, Paul writing, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. And then Psalm 119, 125, I am your servant. Give me discernment that I may understand your statutes.
Amen. It's good stuff.
And so we've got to ask for discernment. We got to, God, give me discernment. Give me discernment. As we, again, walk into situations, as we interact with people, as we face decisions, or give me discernment, give me discernment.
Absolutely. So one of the things that meant the most to me over the years is an illustration I heard Chuck Swindoll give years ago. Many people don't know Chuck Swindoll was also a Marine for a time. I think he played in the Marine band. That's what he did while he was in the Marines, but he served some time in Okinawa. And as they were coming into Okinawa's harbor, they came in at night, they came in during the dark, and the harbor master, who was helping the person steer the ship, said, there's still live mines from World War II in the harbor, so we have to steer the ship carefully. And he said, how do you do that? How do you do that? And he said, well, do you see those four lights that are over on the shore? When we turn the boat in such a way and we follow the path in such a way that all four of those lights align, then we know we're heading in the right direction. And Swindoll went on to say that God led him to come up with this illustration. When God's word is in alignment with advisors that God gives us that are good spiritual advisors, and then we're informed by our time of prayer, and then ultimately through the Holy Spirit in our circumstances, we are able to get aligned. So God's word, prayer in the Holy Spirit, advisors, and then ultimately that kind of gut feeling that comes from the Holy Spirit based upon our circumstances and what direction we need to go.
Amen.
Amen.
I love that. That's tremendous. And also, yeah, along with that, discerning the advice of others.
Yeah.
And so, if somebody's giving you wise counsel, which is what we want to have advisors, we have to have the ability to discern, okay, is this wise counsel?
Right?
Because people can tell us and it ends up being, ooh, wait, what's the motivation behind that? Or is this biblical? So it's got to line up. It's got to line up with that, which is key. Because I'm one of these guys that loves wise counsel. But sometimes I think somebody's off and I go, that doesn't sit well. In my spirit. And so let me test that. So just say, oh, wise counsel. That's good. We have to have discernment with wise counsel.
Absolutely. So wise counsel is wise, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's wise for you to apply that counsel to your situation. Let's give a situation here. So I'll bet that one of the best pro football players of all time, certainly the best tight end, is going to, the case can be made, Travis Kelce. I bet he thought he was being wise when he ran up to Andy Reid and told him what he needed to do and almost knocked him down, right? But Andy didn't accept that counsel. We don't know exactly what he said to him, but thankfully they won the game. Or I think that story would have turned in an entirely different kind of way. So Travis is obviously a smart football player and wise and wily and has skills. But he had a different idea than what Andy wanted to do and get accomplished. And he was so amped up emotionally, that was like there was so much fire poured in his emotions that it might not have been wise counsel for that situation. We'll never know what that conversation actually was. But I think it probably had something to do with throw me the ball because Taylor's looking.
Great. We got our Taylor mention. Thank you for that. I saw yesterday Jason Kelce retires.
Yeah.
Travis's older brother.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Jason Kelce had a Hall of Fame career. We're talking about Travis's older brother.
That's right.
Give me a break. I couldn't believe that. I said out loud to myself, you got to be kidding me.
I think it's really interesting too, something he said about himself yesterday. If you go watch Jason Kelce speak, he said, I'm going to admit it right now. I was overrated. So he went on to talk about the fact he had to develop himself in such a way to become an all-pro lineman. And so think about that, that maybe he was overrated when he came in. And he ultimately worked his way into his greatness. I hear Brian Houston coming in. He worked his way into his greatness or whatever. But anyway, I think that's fascinating.
Very interesting. Yeah. I'll be curious to see where he ends up from a broadcasting standpoint. So that'll be fun. So just to wrap things up today, this concept of discernment, it's available to us. Let's ask God for it. Let's, you know, continue to get into God's word. Listen. We have to listen. We have to pause and listen. In order to discern, we got to hear God's voice, so we got to know God, right? We got to know the difference and be able to test the difference between, wait, is this from God? Is this biblical? Is this true? Versus the world and everybody else. And so being able to discern people how can I serve them well? And what's going on? Let me ask different questions here to really discern beyond the surface. And versus just being judgmental on the surface, writing this person off. No. Let me be patient and trust God to give me insight, spiritual insight. And then also, you know, the difference between knowledge and wisdom and discernment and how those all go together, and thinking about that a little bit more, I think is important too, because we want to gain knowledge, right? And know God's word and then be able to apply it with wisdom, right? That comes with experience and God giving us wisdom, and then discernment almost takes wisdom to even another level of kind of the spiritual application of that too. So I don't know. Let's end on that, because I was kind of wrestling or thinking about those three words and wanted to mention that today. How would you sort of break down the differences or and how they kind of connect
between judgment and discernment? And
I would say knowledge, wisdom, and discernment.
Knowledge, wisdom, and discernment. So knowledge can be used for good or for evil. Wisdom, I think, ultimately is always going to be good if you use God as the filter and His word as filter. And
that's where the discernment, I guess.
Discernment comes in, right. So you can know the right things to do, but you got to be able to apply it. You can know the truth, but if the truth's going to set you free, you've got to make a wise decision. And then the application of that in the way that you interact in your life is what's going to be important. And that's what faith is about. I would just say the thing that we need to constantly remember is we need to see God's faithfulness in our reverse decisions, the good ones we've made, so that we can make good decisions moving forward as well in our lives. Because that's what faith's about, which makes it exciting. We don't know who's going to win the first game next year that's going to be on the schedule. That's what makes it exciting. I don't understand, unless you're a professional football person or a college football, why you're watching old games where you know the outcome of the game. It just never does it for me. Anyway, I guess that's a knowledge base too. You can use that as a knowledge base to be able to practice and move forward.
There you go. All right. Well, so man, discernment is such a value. It's such a gift in our lives. So let's ask God for it. Ray, man,
Man, thank you.
Thank you. It was fun.
Can I say one thing in passing? So before we go today, if you're finding that this program and this ministry is adding value to your life as a friend of Bryce's and as a board member, would you think about making a gift to it? Hey, if 1,000 of you out there gave $10 a month, fortunately, God has richly supplied and blessed this ministry, but we want to grow it beyond the place where it is right now. And if you'll take the initiative to click on the link and give with Unpacking It, we'd appreciate that. Or if you want to find out how to do so in other kinds of tangible ways, please contact Bryce. He's available for you guys.
Oh, that's awesome. No, I appreciate it. Unpackingit.com/donate. We're so thankful for all of our supporters and thankful to have Ray and The Point as a part of our ministry. And I'm thrilled to be a part of the church, and my family loves the church. And so great to do this podcast with you today, Ray. Thank you for coming in studio. And so it's a lot of fun. We miss Luke. And so Luke's doing well. Talked to him yesterday. Just got back from a skiing trip. So he's living it up. But we're thrilled to be able to rotate some different guest co-hosts. And so you'll be hearing from Ray again, I'm sure. So thank you to Ray. Thanks everybody for listening today. I'm Bryce. I'm a sports fan who follows Jesus. I believe in the good news that he died on the cross for my sin. He was resurrected.
Amen.
And through faith, I've been saved by his grace. I hope that is true for you as well. And I hope you'll join me as we live life as sports fans who follow Jesus together. Have a great rest of your day. You can email me, Bryce@unpackingit.com. Thanks for rating, reviewing, and sharing this podcast. Thanks for donating as well. Have a great one. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Unpacking It podcast.